Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Gallen. Joining me in studio right now is Cindy Perkins, a Michigan Tech writer, also a local author. Cindy, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you've been involved in a number of things. We'll be hearing about them as the show kind of goes on, because I can already tell it's going to be a fun and interesting conversation. I want to start off, though, as just doing a little, you know, research on you and background. Now, I write every day as part of the living, and I write a lot for fun as well. You are a writer. There's a distinction. Taking a look at some of the things that you've produced in your career, wow.
Well, thank you. I like to think that my body of work is continually evolving. The novel that just came out is the latest iteration of that. But I've been writing since I was a little girl. And just experiencing all different forms of writing is a joy to me. So I do it for fun as well as making my living at it, which I feel very fortunate to be able to make my living as a writer and an editor.
Now, what you've mentioned, your novel that came out during the summer, More Than You Think You Know, and we're going to be talking about that and what inspired you to write that. I still want to talk just a little bit more about writing in your presentation, because you also seem to have a skill at marketing. In that your presentation of both your writing materials and your things online, your website, really well done, very catchy. And just meeting you here for the first time, I see your personality come through in all of that.
Well, thank you so much. That's a great compliment. My whole thing is that I'm actually embracing social media, and I'm embracing these new forms of connectivity. I'm a writer that began with typewriters, and when I was editor at the Gazette, well, when I started as a reporter at the Daily Mining Gazette, we were using MDOS, and things were spewed out in little rolls and cut and pasted in the back room. And so I've seen this evolution of transmedia storytelling, and to me, it's just an opportunity to connect with people, one person at a time. I don't worry too much about fans or followers or popularity. What I want is real, authentic, honest, and yes, relentlessly optimistic and helpful connections with readers and with other writers as well.
Well, so many different forms of media for a person to specialize in, whether it's radio like we're doing now, television, video, which I've dabbled in, somewhat unsuccessfully. but what is it about the written word that that makes it your choice for communication as the primary vehicle for, you know, your ideas?
To me, it captures moments, and capturing those moments in ways that can be thought about, that can be meditated upon, that can be shared with others. And I'm also a fact lover. And so I'm recording fact. That was one of the hardest things about writing a novel, is because I like facts. So lying, which a lot of novel writing is about lying, was not second nature to me. And so I keep log books when I'm on my boat. I don't write a diary of what I ate every day, but I often write down different thoughts that I have. And for about 8 years now, I've been keeping a gratitude journal where I write down the things I'm grateful for every day. And putting it in writing just to me seems to be a solid, tangible way to express myself.
Now, More Than You Think You Know, your novel that came out during the summertime, was that your first attempt at writing a novel?
No. When I was younger, I thought that I could write a book for money, and I was in my young 20s, and I wanted to write a romance novel. And I quickly discovered, even though those bodice rippers and some of the other forms, the Danielle Steele genre and some of the other tropes and forms of romantic writing, do not come that easily. Quite frankly, it stunk. And I put it in a drawer, and it might be somewhere in my attic right now, but it wasn't authentic. One of the pieces of advice that we often give writers, and I love working with young writers of any age, beginning writers, is write what you know. And I was trying to be something that I wasn't, merely because I've always wanted to write a book, and I thought that would be the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. Well, I know that experience from having to, you know, having tried to write a novel myself. In time, I found that it was the long form I didn't like. I liked writing shorter things, more to the point, and I had, you know, more success at getting my point across on shorter forms than going novels, because it's such a huge undertaking to take. It takes oftentimes years to write. So what led you to finally write a novel with more than you think you know?
Well, first, to speak to the short and the long form, it's kind of who you are as a writer. I take classes with Matt Siegel at Michigan Tech, because going there, I have all these wonderful educational opportunities available to me. And he's a poet, so he writes super short. He worked with Roxane Gay, who's, you know, just blowing up the bestseller lists and the accolades everywhere. She's probably our most famous novelist or writer to ever come out of Michigan Tech. But for me, what prompted me to write More Than You Think You Know is the ideas that I gathered during my journey on two America's Great Circle Loops aboard my sailboat Chip Ahoy with my husband, Scott.
So you're a boater.
Yes, I am. And if I may, happy 37th anniversary, Scott. And I think this is going to be airing on my birthday, too. So happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday and happy anniversary.
Thanks.
Now, you know, not everybody would want to go on a trip around the world with, you know, their significant other. Tell me about the trips.
We took two 6,000-mile-plus circumnavigations. And the cool thing is we're here on Lake Superior. You can just go. You can go out to the ocean from here. You can go anywhere. And so what we did is we began up here, and it follows the trajectory of my book. We went through the Sioux and the locks there, and those were the first of at least 80 locks, counting all of the locks we've done on the Trent Severn Waterway and the Erie Canal. And then we went down Lake Michigan, across Lake Michigan to Chicago Harbor, and then you get into the rivers in Chicago Harbor. You go down the Mississippi, Ohio, Tennessee, the Tennessee Tom Bigbee, down to Mobile Bay, and then you cross the Gulf down to Florida. We call it the Cold Line. It's somewhere around Fort Myers Beach or Tarpon Springs, Florida, and then down to the Keys. And then up and around the Keys and up the East Coast and going to New York Harbor, the Statue of Liberty, up the Hudson, and then into your choice of canals and back into the Great Lakes.
When you first ventured off, did you know you were going on that kind of a trip? Was that planned, or did this start off as a 3-hour tour?
We did. My husband had the idea, and after he sold Perkins Electronics, I had left the Daily Mining Gazette. We were at the place in our lives, and I feel so fortunate that we were, because a lot of people wait to do what they want to do until they're retired, older. And for us, we were able to do it when we were still relatively young, and we lived aboard for on and off for about 4 years. We didn't do what some people do. We didn't sell the house and give everything up. Houghton will always have our heart. My husband's a Copper Country boy to the core. But we were able to just kind of untie the lines and take off.
The book, was the book conceived as you were, or the idea, I guess, of writing a book, did you have that going into the trip, or did that come after?
Since I was a little girl, I wanted to write a novel. I had this New York dream of I would go on Madison Avenue or Fifth Avenue or Park Avenue, and I would have a big publisher. And I would have lunch at the Four Seasons with my agent, and we would go out to Sardi's after the theater. I had this whole giant idea. The fame and fortune part of it, quickly, as I got older, became less important to me than the idea of a tangible book. And as you can see, I have it here in the studio. I carry it around like a little puppy. It's so exciting to have something tangible. But the aha, as Oprah calls it, the aha moment for me was on the Tensaw River cutoff at mile 12.2 above Mobile Bay. We were preparing to go down into Mobile Bay, and you have to wait for weather, as you so often do when you're living the water life. And there was this one particular fish camp. It was this old rickety place. The porch hung over the water. The tow barges would go by and wash it. We were anchored there because it was considered a hurricane hole by the locals, so you were out of bad weather, and you were surrounded by egrets and crocodiles, and mother sharks were said to swim up there to spawn. And it was in this place at that, and I looked at that house, that fish camp, and there was no one there, and I just thought, they live there, and something's happening, and it's a house of women, and who are they? And at that moment, it just crystallized for me that this was going to be an integral scene to the book. So, and the book is about three renegade wild women of a certain age who are traveling down the rivers in a 44-foot steel yacht, and this is one of the key scenes in the book. One thing I'm so happy about is we traveled up and down the rivers. After the Great Circle Loops, we continued going down south for the winter. And so we were up and down those rivers about 9 times. And 1 year we came, and it was shortly after I'd signed the contract with my publisher, and the camp was gone. The river takes what it wants, and this camp was gone. And I'm so blessed that I took a lot of pictures of it, and now it's going to live on forever because it's in a book.
Well, I guess now would be a good time to make an important distinction so that your book is not, you know, memoirs of a trip down the, you know, down the river. It is. You took your experiences and then wrote a fictitious tale. Just from hearing you talk, sounds like something like Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. You know, you're going down the river and...
Yeah. It's Huckleberry Finn if he's with Thelma and Louise. That's kind of what it, there's crashes, there's hot flashes, there's men overboard, there's a lot that goes on. So there's interior journeys that these women are experiencing as well.
Did a little bit of that desire to write a romance novel from your past, did that creep in there a little bit to in a medium that was more comfortable for you?
I would say that the romance is not here. It's raw and it's gritty, and there's a lot of frank talk about sexuality, particularly menopause, which isn't written about very much. But no, it kind of went in a different direction. I never felt like it was out of my hands, but sometimes the characters did do things that I didn't expect them to do or say things that I didn't expect them to say. I shocked myself a few times. And I was really glad that I had this tribe of beta readers who were friends and writers and women my age who were not shocked at all and felt it to be true. And so it made me a lot more confident about, yeah, it's okay to talk about this stuff and it's okay to be gritty. So a lot of times when we go into menopause land, we're either talking about, oh, funny, ha-ha, or we're talking about medical concerns, hormone treatments, or other things that you can do to be healthy. And this is approaching it kind of in a different way. So we have the journey, the exterior journey, and we have the internal journey.
These different places that you were experiencing when you were on the trip, like the village, how much of a culture shock was that for you? Had you spent much time out of the Copper Country? I don't know your background completely.
Well, I'm originally from Toledo, Ohio. But no, if you have not been down the Heartland Rivers, you are in for a shock, especially L.A., which is what they call Lower Alabama. I remember my husband ordering a Labatt Blue at a bar there and being asked, is that a mixed drink? So it's a completely different world. It's very removed. Even the people who live there might not know where Bashai Creek is. It really surprised me when I was doing research for this book, too, because when you're in the Great Circle Loop world, like we're super youper loopers because we've done it twice, you think that everybody knows about it. And in all actuality, only about 150 boats a year register for this loop. And out of those, many of them don't finish in the first year or don't finish at all.
You did it twice, so after you were done the first time, why did you want to do it again? I mean, that's such a huge undertaking.
We like to say we're gluttons for punishment.
Was that the only reason? I mean, did you feel you missed some things?
We did, and we liked seeing the things that we saw. And one of the things you find about boating, even boating here on Lake Superior, is that every experience is different. Even if you've only been to, if you've been to Isle Royale once, that doesn't mean that your experience will be the same when you return. It will be different. And so on the water, the light, the conditions, the current, the people, the animals, the sky, it's all changing and it's all different. And that's what's so fascinating and beautiful about it. So we really felt like we gained the knowledge we needed to do it the second time.
Introduce to me your characters. You said there were three women. Tell me a little bit about them.
So we have Haley. She actually works as an information specialist for the Tourism Bureau here in the Copper Country. And when she gets fired from that job, she takes to bartending and just kind of she's at loose ends. And she dumps her husband over on the other side of Lake Michigan in Hammond Marina. He's a jerk. There's no nice way to put it. And she steals a sailboat, and she heads down Lake Michigan to Chicago Harbor. And when she's there, she on the way there, she discovers more than she thinks. She knows more than she thinks she knows about sailing, which is part of the reason that, for the inspiration for the title. She's there, and the Coast Guard's looking for her because somebody's stolen a sailboat, and it's been reported. And enter Robin of the Good Ship Blackout. And Robin is a divorcee. She's run upriver from, this is written post-Hurricane Katrina, so she's run upriver, and she's a chain-smoking, beer-drinking son of a gun. And her voice is so low that her nephews and nieces call her Uncle Robin. And she is alone, and she welcomes Haley aboard because she figures out very quickly that something's not kosher here and that this person's running away from somebody, and she's open and warm and compassionate. And so they band up, and then in Joliet, Illinois, at the town dock, they run into Trish. And Trish is a retired hooker hairdresser. She's on a yacht with her sugar daddy. And she's kind of tired of that whole life, too. She's looking for change. She's looking for a shift. She's looking for something different. Doesn't know a thing about boating, but she comes aboard Blackout, and then they all make their way down the rivers.
Well, three very interesting-sounding characters. I have to ask you, you know, which one of them is your avatar, or are you in all three?
I think I'm in all three, but my readers are telling me that they see more of me and Haley than any of the other characters. And it's difficult for me, honestly, at this point, to separate what's true from what's not true in this book, because it's such a melange. There's truth in the lies, and there's lies in the truth. And I have to be okay with that.
Anybody who's done any fictional writing, when you create a character, that character takes on a personality of their own. I mean, they're born of you, but they are their own person, basically. And you start writing them as they would act, not as you would direct them. And your characters sometimes do things that you don't really want them to do, but it's what they would do. Do you like these three characters? Is where I'm getting at. And that because they become their own, own individual persons. And even though they are your characters, they exist in their universe. And you're just recording what they did. You tend to have relationships with your own characters.
I love them.
You love them.
Okay. I love them. I think that they remind me of different women I've met. I embrace the parts of them that are parts of me. And through this whole experience, I found a commonality that I wasn't really sure existed. It began when I started asking women randomly, just women of a certain age. I'm heading towards 60. Asking my contemporaries and women a little bit younger than me, have you ever wanted to run away? And to a woman, most of them cheerfully admitted yes, and some of them said they still wanted to. So it was very revelatory for me to be able to talk to different women and to be able to portray these women. And then I love my boating women friends so much. The sailors in Canada that taught me about navigation and anchoring and how the woman runs the boat. And the women that I met who were trying to learn to like boating, and the women I met who had shirts on that said, tell the captain to be quiet, because the captain shouting is a common thing. All of them are represented in this book.
That theme of running away, so is that sort of what carries the story arc then? The desire to run away, the consequences of running away, and then perhaps at one point having to deal with those consequences.
It's the idea that all of us, male, female, want to be safe, and we want to be happy, and we want to be loved. And sometimes that is a journey that has to be taken deliberately. There's a whole dialogue that goes on in the book. Are they running away or did they just go? Because there is a character that says, I didn't run away, I just went. So it's all a matter of perspective.
Hmm. Book is called More Than You Think You Know. It's available locally. How can people get it?
Well, I have to give a shout out to Marilyn at Swift's Hardware, because with the closing of Book World, she has taken some books, most beautifully absorbed them into that amazing space there. Finlandia, Northwind Books there, MTU Bookstore has taken the book on, which I'm super grateful for. Copper World, the Carriage House at Eagle Harbor. We've got the Laughing Loon and Grandpa's Barn up in Copper Harbor and Snowbound Books in Marquette. And then, of course, people can get the books from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of those normal outlets. But I just want to say, if you can, support your local bookstore. Some of them even have online ordering. And I would just love to see people support local bookstores.
It becomes even more important now is, you know, our only book chain here in town, you know, with the closing of Book World is leaving us there. Are they completely closed yet? I haven't been down that way, but
They will be closing after January. Okay. They're trying to get rid of their inventory by doing Christmas sales. But as soon as they made the announcement in November, a steady stream of local authors were down there because Book World's been wonderful working with all of us, getting their books off the shelves because they took all the consigned books off the shelves immediately. This is when authors leave their books there, and then Book World pays for you for them as they are sold and takes a percentage of those sales. So those were removed immediately, and I can't say enough to the great staff there. I'm thinking of Sue and James, and I'm sure I'm missing somebody, some of the other people there. But Sue literally carried Debbie Frontiera's box of books up the hill for me to my car because it was too heavy for me to lift. And they have just been wonderful people, and I hope that they find great jobs in the community. I'm sorry to see all 48 of these Book Worlds close because I feel that they served an important function.
Well, with them gone, how do local authors like yourself, what's their best way of being able to get their books without, you know, a big chain like that?
Well, you can do what a lot of we Keweenaw authors do, and you can band together. For example, we were at Keweenaw Art Affair. Saturday the 16th, we'll be at the Copper Country Mall Show selling our books. So you can go to a lot of fairs and events and festivals to try to get your book out. And again, you're making those personal connections. And then you can also look at gift shops, stores, and other emporiums that might be interested in carrying your book. For example, Eagle Harbor Lighthouse Complex is carrying Kristen Neva's Copper Country Romances. She's got Snow Country, Copper Country, and the third in the trilogy to be coming out soon because they carry local books and they're interested in that. So it all requires us to be like Marilyn Swift and be very clever with our retailing and our displays. For example, she's got cookbooks with the cooking things. She's got children's books with the toys. She's got my book with all the Lake Superior stuff because it's about boating. So we need to just think out of the box and figure out different ways. And then it's also cool if you can get major retailers. For example, Corey Labas Sr., another local author, he's got his books in Walmart. You can order his books from Walmart.com. So we're all looking for different ways to extend that reach and connect with our readers.
Your book, was it? Do you have any reviews or anything that to share? I mean, what are people saying about it?
I have some blurbs coming in. This is an interesting part for me, Rick, because I know the writing end of things, and I'm great with the editing end of things. And I had help from my publisher, which is why I wanted a publisher, with the formatting and the cover design and so on and so forth. But I didn't understand what a big deal all of this marketing is. And it's just been, to me, a learning experience. I'm just kind of looking at different options and different ways to go.
Okay. What are your plans going forward? Are you going to start writing another one? Is this, you know, did you just want to try this out?
Oh, yeah. I've got at least three other novel ideas. The one that's the work in progress right now is called Yoga for Smokers. And it's about another weird wild tribe of women, only this time they're going to be down in the Keys. And I think that's a great place. I hope I get to go there and do some research. But it's going to be set in Keys, probably in Key West, and it's going to continue along some of the same themes, but we're going to introduce some other themes. And then the one after that, the tentative working title is Bite Me, and that's going to be about the restaurant industry. That's going to be kind of an Anthony Bourdain take on the food and beverage industry. So I'm really looking forward into digging into that one too. I've worked at a lot of places up here from the Harbor House to the Pilgrim River. And I just think it's a fascinating world full of amazing people. And I look forward to kind of capturing this moment in time when tipping is still a thing and different, you know, all the different things that go on behind the scenes in our kitchens.
Does boating still play a part in your life?
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's one of the places that I'm marketing the book. There are a lot of marinas. All of the marinas, all of the scenes, all of the anchorages, all of those bridges and locks that I mention in More Than You Think You Know are on the rivers. They're actual places. And that's one of the reasons that this isn't a book just for women. It is a women's road trip novel, except it's on a river on a boat. But it's also got a very, very deeply detailed nautical spine. Karen Larson from Good Old Boat is one of the people who did get a blurb in for me and did a great review. And she says it's something that every great circle loop person or every snowbird river traveler should have in their cockpit. So it's not a guidebook per se. Make sure that you're still consulting your charts in your guidebooks, but it says a lot about boating, a lot about the conditions that people will face on the when they're traveling on the rivers.
I mentioned at the onset here that you have some really good marketing going on right now. Certainly, like your personal website looks really sharp. Can you give that website out so people can check, you know, what you have?
Yeah, it's a that's a work in progress too, and it's at cindyperkins.com. And then I love Instagram. That's my favorite. So you can find me at Cindy Perkins on Instagram, at Cindy Perkins on Twitter. And then I have two Facebook pages. I have a Cindy Perkins author page, or you can go to Cindy Beauchard Perkins, and I'll be your friend as long as you're not, as long as you're nice, I'll be your friend.
Cindy, C-Y-N-D-I, so people,
you know, correct. That's, thank you.
Spell that correctly. And Cindy, I look forward to, you know, checking out the book and everything else that you have coming down the pipe.
Well, thanks so much. And I look forward to talking more with other people about their writing and about their books, because this is all about dreams coming true.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.